Those that know me from the old days are maybe surprised to see me here with the clerical collar and presenting the message today. Hello, Cheryl. Good to see you. Well, yes, it's true. It's one of the best-kept secrets in Washington, but I have been a member of the clergy for many years, done funerals and weddings and a fair amount of preaching, but it's a testimony to what God can do. My flock is about 25,000 people who have come out in the last 20 years to do gleaning in the fields and orchards. And I am the director of a charitable organization, a faith-based organization that does social service for gathering food for the poor. Hello, Pastor Lilly. Good to see you there. I just wanted to present the message today from the book of Ruth. There are many, many lessons to take away from this book, and I want to share them with you today. Well, has anybody here suffered from hard times? Your family, your friends? I know that you have, because everybody goes through hard times, and at one time or another, we suffer those circumstances that are adverse. Well, we all seek security in one form or another. These are perilous times. We live with great uncertainties. Conditions in our world seem very unstable. There are threats to our security on every side. My first career was in the Navy, in which case I was engaged in national security. Then my second career was in business. In that case, I was seeking financial security. And the third career, which I'm undertaking now in the world of a faith-based social service organization, I am seeking food security. Well, there's all kinds of security, job security and so forth and so on. But security in this age of terrorism in particular, we are concerned, all of us, with homeland security. Well, the subject this morning is faith security. Faith security. In other words, how secure are we in our faith? And how much security does our faith give us? That's what I'm terming faith security. Those two questions are very important in evaluating our spiritual condition. Evaluating our spiritual condition is something we should always do. But those two questions are very, very important for our dealing with our circumstances. Now, I can't get into a pulpit and not challenge you, so I'm going to challenge you. This first question of how secure are you in your faith? Is it a kind of sort of faith? Or is it a rock-solid, sold-out, all-in kind of faith? Well, being a true believer, it does matter how secure you are in your faith. And the second question is the other side of the coin. How much security does our faith give us? You know, Jesus came to show us and to teach us the importance of our faith in dealing with adverse circumstances. And he not only taught us, but he demonstrated it in his life. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, it says, "In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength." Well, it's traditional on Mother's Day to talk about women, especially mothers, and we'll do that today through the story of a young of a mother called Naomi and a mother-to-be whose name was Ruth. They ended up in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. We don't have time to cover the whole book today, but the storyline, and it's a true story, and the biblical background is that it occurred in the time of the judges in Israel, when judges ruled, the land that the Israelites had conquered is about 1,000 years before Christ, or about 3,000 years ago, but it is presented as a true story of adversity in chapter 1, where Naomi, whose name means pleasant, but at the time she was in terribly adverse circumstances. She lost her husband, who died. She lost her sons, two of them, who died. And she was left destitute in a foreign land. She had moved to Moab from her home in Bethlehem. And she was left with two daughters-in-law, one of whom name was Ruth, the other one was Oprah. And the times were hard. And she was left without any visible means of support. So that first chapter of Ruth is about financial insecurity. Now, Ruth's response to her circumstances were very unhappy. She became resentful and bitter. It wasn't that she didn't believe in God. She did absolutely believe in God. But she had considered that God was giving her a raw deal. So she became bitter. Now, the story unfolds that she hears that God has visited her people back in Bethlehem, and so she decided to return to her homeland. And the scripture we read this morning about Ruth's declaration of covenant faithfulness to her mother-in-law was a decision point, because Naomi understood that in that male-dominated society, without any visible means of support, she had to release her daughter-in-laws to go get a husband. That was about the only way they were going to survive. So she released them, and one did decide to go ahead to her mother's home. I thought it was interesting that in the story, they were to go back to their mother's home. Well, she did. So that's a picture of returning back to the world from which she came. She loved her mother-in-law. Her first response was to stick with her, but she decided to turn back to her mother. Now, that was Orpah. But Ruth declared herself to be faithful to her mother-in-law and to go wherever she was going to go, and stick with her, even to be buried where she was going to die. Well, that's a picture of covenant faithfulness, which is one of the main messages to get out of the book of Ruth. Covenant faithfulness and the rewards that God will bring as a result of that faithfulness. And we'll see that as we proceed through the book. But in any case, there was a case of really serious adverse circumstances and a decision by Ruth, Naomi, Ruth accompanying her, to return to her people. Well, you know, this profile of Naomi as someone who is bitter is really pretty typical. I deal with a lot of impoverished people as a result of the Gleaning Network, and I see the same kind of psychological profile with not just women, but everybody who is impoverished. They are feeling as though God has given them a raw deal, or life has given them a raw deal, and they've been left behind in this world with very little in the way of support. And they take desperate measures, and they turn back to the world for worldly ways to cope. But then there's a lot of others who are believers but have to cope. And one of the lessons that I derive out of Ruth is that the response that we make to our adverse circumstances is key. And the response that we should have is that of covenant faithfulness. But the times are tough, and God is really the only answer to that. I remember vividly one mother who was in absolute tears over her situation. Her son had been targeted by local gangs. And she lived in terror over what was oppressing her son, because the contract that was out on him was, there just seemed to be no way to fight it. She didn't have the money to move anywhere, but if she stayed, her son was as good as dead. Well, she came to a Christian businessmen's meeting where she encountered some support, financial support to help her move, encouragement, and a connection to a group of believers that could help support her under these kinds of circumstances. But that is pretty typical of the mean streets that are out there. And I see them every day. People are suffering and afflicted. They're lost and homeless, loveless. They're angry, mentally, psychologically deranged, dirty, uneducated, unskilled, ungroomed. I got quite a list here. Oppressed, depressed, bitter, resentful, prejudiced. There's a whole range of responses that we can have to our circumstances, particularly when they are adverse. Well, back to our story of Naomi and Ruth. You see that Ruth's response, unlike Naomi's response to adversity, was to be positive. She used faith out of resources, inner resources, that we too should call on. Of course, to use our faith in adverse circumstances means we've built it up in the first place. And faith, I've found, is a great deal like bodybuilding. It has to be exercised. And the more it is exercised, the stronger it gets. But it gets exercised in those times of adversity. And the stronger and more adverse circumstances we overcome, the greater strength that we bring to overcome. So one of the lessons that I get as an outcome of the story of Naomi and Ruth is we should pray, obey, and believe, but before then we should be building up our faith so that when those days come, we can overcome. I noticed that in chapter 1 of Ruth there was no evidence of prayer. Now in these New Testament times we have direct access to God. And so we have that advantage. And we have the advantage also of the Scripture. We can look back on stories like that in Ruth and see what sort of responses that are appropriate and God is looking for our overcoming adversity. You know, when I first went into ministry, I was counseling at the 700 Club with the Christian Broadcasting Network, encountered thousands and thousands of situations where people would call in for counseling. I was the person the financial issues, people with financial issues came to for counseling. And the question always came up, what was their relationship with Jesus Christ? And that had to be straightened out first. So they were encouraged to come to the Lord with a commitment to enter into covenant faithfulness with Jesus. The second question was, okay, what is your relationship with your church? And I found myself ministering to, again, thousands and thousands of people with these financial insecurity situations and counseling them to seek God's provision, because I'm absolutely confident God has a provision for every need. It's just that it has to be found. Now, in the case of Naomi, she returned to the community of believers that she had left at Bethlehem to go for greener pastures over to Moab. And as she returned to her community of believers, she was warmly welcomed along with Ruth, and that you can see the unfolding story of the book of Ruth, then the blessings started to flow. Well, I found the same thing in counseling people at the 700 Club. As long as they turned to the Lord and sought his provision, they often found it. Now, I can't say that all of those needs got addressed, but I can say that about 25% of them got addressed, which is amazing when you consider the thousands and thousands of cases that came up for consideration. But I also learned, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right away, even though I was not mature in ministry, nevertheless, I learned right away that God did not use me to alleviate everyone's circumstances, adverse circumstances. God was using those adverse circumstances to get the people that he was dealing with into the right place. Then he would release his blessings. So I would always refer these cases after addressing that question of where were they in the relationship with Jesus and where were they in relationship to the church by sending them for pastoral counseling. I could only spend 4 or 5 minutes with each one of them. I had maybe 6 people helping me, but with the large numbers of people with these circumstances, it had to be played out in a more in-depth pastoral counseling way. So I always sent them. I would not help them until they had gone for pastoral counseling. Then I had the pastor call me, and we would get a witness in our spirit mutually about what to do about this case or that case or the other. But as I say, as soon as the person with the need started moving in the direction the Lord wanted him to move in, the blessings would start to flow. There were a number of people who wouldn't move. They would say, well, I don't have a church, or I haven't found a good church. My typical response, well, have you found a grocery store yet? And they would allow us, yeah, I suppose I just haven't looked hard enough, and that would be true. Well, the point that I derive out of this and my own experience is that God is looking for covenant faithfulness. He is also looking for us to move to the place where he wants us to be so he can release his blessings. Well, we see in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, that's exactly what happened. Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem. The community of believers greeted him, and then the blessing started unfolding. And the second scripture we read about going into the fields to glean was God's provision for material needs, and food is a very basic material need, unfolding. And I can't resist the opportunity to tell you about gleaning. I know many of you know about it, but gleaning is a concept that's in the Bible. It's in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You know, everybody reads those books, don't they? But it's in there. It's part of the law that God handed down through Moses. You've heard of the Ten Commandments? Well, there were a lot of other laws and commandments that God gave at the same time. And one of those was the gleaning law. And I found very few people who have ever heard of the gleaning law. But the gleaning law was a commandment of God to farmers to set aside some of their fields for the poor so that the orphans and the widows and the strangers in the land, those were the poor classes in those days, could come and get their needs met for food. And that's the picture we see in chapter 2. For Ruth asked Naomi for permission to go into the fields to glean, and she got and it really amounted to an enormous amount of leftover food. And that's the idea, is Boaz is a farmer who's growing a crop of grain. He's got his young men out in the field picking the grain to sell to the supermarket of his day. And then come the gleaners behind the commercial harvest to get what's left over to meet their needs. Well, Naomi was surprised at the amount of food that Ruth brought back. Part of it was because she worked hard from early morning until late at night doing it. Part of it is because she started getting additional blessings. Because Boaz was attracted to her and gave her a little extra. Even some of the grain that had been roasted, he gave her. So Naomi was very surprised at the amount of food. Well, I can tell you from what we have done over the last 20 years, there is a super abundance of food out there for people in need. And we never go gleaning without getting that super abundance, because what is left over after the commercial harvest, some farmers tell me, is far more than they harvest and sell to the market. So the way God has blessed this country with such an abundance of food, there is no reason why anybody in this country should go hungry. The problem and the challenge is getting it from where it's available to where it's needed. And that is a logistics challenge and a volunteer challenge of a high order. So I want to encourage everybody to practice the scriptural encouragement to come out gleaning. There are great opportunities. I guarantee you'll love it. So will your children love it. Well, back to the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. It happens that Boaz was attracted to Ruth. Naomi, the scheming mother-in-law, came up with a plan. And the result was that couple was married and had a baby. And that child was named Obed, who had a child named Jesse, who had a child called David, who became the king of Israel. And this Moabite woman and Naomi, her mother-in-law, came into the ancestral line of Jesus Christ. The lesson that I get out of that is that God will take anyone and move them into the place of blessing that he has in store for you if we will just move to the place where he wants us to be. Now, another takeaway that I get from the book of Ruth is that it is giving that should be our response to adverse circumstances. Even if we have nothing material to give, and we can see from the story, Naomi has really given her life for her children, and it's obvious that that Ruth's response to her is a response to what she saw in Naomi. Naomi believed God, and it's true. She thought she was getting a bad deal from God, but she nevertheless believed God. But she made the decision to move back to the community of believers that put her in the place God wanted her to be. And in the case of Ruth, we see giving a picture of covenant faithfulness to her mother-in-law that God wants to have us do towards him. You can't go wrong with covenant faithfulness, and that's the primary message that I get out of the book of Ruth. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm glad to be worshiping with you, and as you know, I come often here at Wesley and intend to come more often even yet. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word and the lessons we derive from it.